It's hard to believe, but Modern Vampires of the City by Vampire Weekend was released 10 years ago. They spoke about it on the new episode of Time Crisis, and this is what I wrote this morning in my notes about it, after having listened to the whole app of Time Crisis last night when it aired. This is from my notes. The first half of Modern Vampires is the one that grabbed me initially, but the second half is the one that has aged the most beautifully over the last 10 years. Hudson is the one... Hudson is the one slash the song that has grown on me the most. Apparently, it is the least popular Vampire Weekend song. I can understand why, as it is the only Vampire Weekend song that I did not like upon initial listen, besides A Punk, but that's different because I had never heard a Vampire Weekend song before. A Punk was being played constantly on my local indie station. I didn't like it at first. I thought it was a little bland. It just didn't do it for me. It didn't really grab me the way I liked music to grab me. Then I read an article about the band's new video for A Punk, wherein the writer compared it to a Wes Anderson movie. By the way, this article may have been on Pitchfork, but I'm not sure if I was even reading Pitchfork then. Actually, I wrote more on that later. Okay. I guess I have that writer to thank, because I watched the video and became a lifelong Vampire Weekend fan. I remember the moment when it turned, when Ezra Koenig's sweet melody intoxicated my brain. The off-kilter style of the video, which indeed was an ode to Wes Anderson, pleased and delighted me. I had a new obsession, and it was called Vampire Weekend. I fairly quickly became a VW head. It's been 10 years, and the album sounds better than ever, particularly the B-side, so it can now officially be called a stone-cold classic. I remember where I was when this album was released, and I remember exactly where I was when I first heard it. I was off-put by Hudson. The album was more low-key and slow-paced than what I was expecting, but I thought it was amazing, and I knew it was amazing. So, all of their albums have their haters. Ezra Koenig was worried about the kind of slower pace of this album, because they're known for A Punk, which is an upbeat or up-tempo guitar song, and a lot of Modern Vampires of the City is piano-based, and it's more low-key and low-tempo than some of their earlier stuff. So they're into their second 10 years. The first 10 years of Vampire Weekend was 2008 to 2018. So we're now in the second 10, and Father of the Bride is a part of that. I think with the first two albums, so Contra is kind of a ska album, and then Vampire Weekend is kind of, it's the most heavily influenced by kind of like African music and guitar playing. But then I think actually, oh no, I was remembering a thought that I had, and then I realized that the thought was about Father of the Bride, not Modern Vampires. But I think with Father of the Bride, that's kind of their most international album. It kind of encapsulates the most different styles of any of the three albums. I think with Modern Vampires, that's sort of like the darkest, the most serious, the slowest, as I said, the most piano-based, and there's some snow imagery on the album. It's kind of their wintry album about aging. I think that's part of what that album is, and they were all, like, only about 30 when they made it, I think, but it's... That's one of the theme, one of the many themes of the album, along with religion, I think, don't know, not like, not youth, not adolescence, but sort of that. Maybe like the teenage years. I don't know. What would you call that? All right, hold on a second. Don't Lie might be the best Vampire Weekend chorus, and that is my favorite song on the album. Modern Vampires of the City. See, now I'm getting into kind of like disparate note part of it. I'm kind of reading my disparate notes. Okay, Modern Vampires of the City is the best album of the last 10 years. Tranquility Base, Hotel and Casino is a close second. But in that case, I wouldn't say it's not, I wouldn't say it's the band's masterpiece. I would say that is truly still whatever people say I am. That's what I'm not, the first album. And Vampire Weekend's first album is still, I mean, Modern Vampires of the City is their masterpiece, but like for me personally, I still really love the first album. But I recognize that the band's masterpiece is Modern Vampires of the City. Tranquility Base is sort of like that, but it's different, and it's also later in their career. So, on the episode of Time Crisis, Ezra Koenig was they went through all the tracks on the album, and Ezra was kind of like illuminating the tracks, the making of the album. Apparently, he and Ezra had like an emergency 4-day writing session on Martha's Vineyard, actually, at one point. And that's when they wrote Don't Lie, actually. And that kind of came later in the recording. And it is my favorite song on the album. And as I said, possibly my favorite Vampire Weekend chorus. It's so big and so amazing. And it has that great pre-chorus as well. The fuck was I talking about? Don't remember. I don't know. All right. Oh, no. Okay, yeah. So Ezra was talking about the album, and it kind of came to a point where it's like he really encapsulated a lot. I thought he really summed up some things when he said that the band had been criticized, like, early on lyrically. They would have songs like M79 or I don't know what the other example he gave was. But just, I'm pretty sure it was another song on the first album. I don't think it was Contra. But just, like, there was a randomness to the lyrics. Like, he would just kind of write about different things and sort of, like, trying to paint a picture. And this is also true in, like, indie film and stuff with, like, Harmony Korine. And, like, I'll get back to that. But he said it really, he felt that his lyricism really came together on Modern Vampires of the City, and it really kind of peaked, I think. I mean, he didn't say that, but he said really on this album, you know, the randomness truly is telling a story. He gave Step as the example of that, which is kind of the band's lyrical masterpiece. I mean, it is. It's Ezra Koenig's masterpiece as a lyricist, I think. Step. That's the one to me. I was also thinking, the best hip-hop song. Okay, so maybe it's not of the 21st century. I was thinking is Backseat Freestyle by Kendrick Lamar. This is like totally a side note, but just like a thought I had the other day. I don't know if it is the best song of the 21st century, though, because of, you know, Kanye and things like this. I was thinking that it was. I'm not sure about that. I would say it's the best hip-hop slash rap song of the past 10 years, but it's now, that album is now 11 years old, so I can't say that. At least in terms of years, not in terms of, like, the exact date. I think with Modern Vampires, I think it was, like, the day they recorded was, like, that. It was, like, the actual 10-year anniversary of Modern Vampires of the City. So it did come out around this time 10 years ago. And I remember summer was approaching. I was living in Baltimore, and I used to go on these walks where I would, like, roll a joint and bring it with me, or roll a couple joints, like, just little skinny joints. And I would kind of, like, walk. There are kind of, like, some woodsy parts of Baltimore. Anyone who lives there may know what I'm talking about. So I would walk. There was, like, this trail where people would, like, walk their dogs and stuff, and I used to just go for walks there by myself and just kind of, like, zone out, listen to music, whatever. Right, so one of those walks, after seeing on Pitchfork that the album got a 9.3, which was just like insane, and then they named it the, I mean, it's appropriate, the album deserves that. I mean, I would give it a 10, just like just for me, just because I fucking love it, and I do think it's perfect, or at least close, maybe like 9.8, 9.9. But yeah, I saw the 9.3, and then they later named it the album of the year, and it was also top 10 of the decade, so I thought that was great. Obviously, for me, it's my favorite of the decade, favorite album. I do fucking love Contra, though, too. Like, I'd put it right up there as, like, in some ways, my favorite album of the decade. Because that was 2010, so it's technically the same decade. Anyway, back to this. I could have also totally been imagining it, but Ezra sounded like he was choking up a little bit at one point, talking about the album and how... When he was talking about that randomness, telling a story, and how the lyricism kind of, like, really came together on the album for him, you know, he felt it did. And I don't know, it almost, like, it was, I forget exactly how he put it, but it was almost like this album was, like, signaling kind of the future for the band, and then Rostam left, you know, he went solo, and that kind of changed everything. I mean, the band is still the band, it's still Vampire Weekend, and Rostam even came in and did some production work on Father of the Bride, but it's never going to be that, what it once was. As much as I love Father of the Bride, and as much as I love Vampire Weekend now, even though I've never seen them live, ever, not in the Rostam era, and not now in the new kind of jammier era where they have more band members. So, this is going to be the kind of last note I read. Was the article about Oxford Comma on Pitchfork? Was I reading Pitchfork at the time? Was I in college? Probably. Or graduating from high school? I put a question mark. I don't think I meant to put a question mark, because I was either graduating from high school or in college when I read that article. I mean, the album came out 08. I graduated high school in 08. I don't know what time of year it came out. And then A-Punk was probably released prior to the album's release. I assume it was the I don't know what they would have called it at the time, lead-off single. I mean, it's still the same thing, where they release the singles in anticipation of the album. That's been true since the 70s or even the 60s. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. All right, back on topic. Yeah, so I would hear the song. I think I was hearing it on the radio, like, even just, like, driving to, like, high school my senior year and shit, because there was, like, this kind of cool, as I said, my local indie station, there was this kind of cool radio station, and at the time in Connecticut, I don't know if it still exists. I think it does. I think it might still exist. And they would play cool music, indie music, rock music, 90s rock. It was just, like, they would just play good songs and kind of cool, as I said, rock music and indie music, and I totally dug it. It's still my favorite Connecticut radio station, and that's where I first heard A-Punk, and they must have had that song on fucking rotation. Like, I feel like they played it every hour. Like, I was just, like, inundated by this song, and I was like, what is this annoying song with these vocals and this guitar, and it's all kind of high-pitched and, like, weird and cloying and annoying. And I actually thought it was a little bland. I just didn't think it was, like, much of a song. And then I read an article or something. I don't know. Maybe I just saw something online. I don't know what it was exactly, but I'm pretty sure it was, like, an article, maybe on Pitchfork. And they talked about how this video was, like, Wes Anderson, like, borrowing from Wes Anderson's style. And so I was like, fuck it. You know, I keep hearing this fucking song. It's annoying. I don't like it. But you know, I like, this is me at the time saying, but I like Wes Anderson, and I'm curious to see what this kind of indie rock band has cooked up for their video, their initial video, I guess. So I watched it, and it was great. It's still an indelible experience for me. I still remember it. I still remember the moment when it all turned, which is when, I think it's when the song goes into that part where he's like, why would you speak to me that way, especially when I always said that I, it might have been when, even when he hit that note, always said that I haven't got the words for you. All your addiction. So yeah, I just like the just that. I guess it was. See, I'm like I'm a musician, but like I don't know enough about music. I don't know if you call it the chord progression. It's just the melody, really. My dad at the time was always talking about chord progression, so I was like, I think I probably thought at the time, like, is it the chord progression or is it like, but no, it's like, it's because it's not like the keys, it's not the piano, it's not the guitar, it's his vocal, so it's his, but it's not even his vocal, it's the melody that he wrote that really kind of like struck me and turned me into a fan. And I got into Vampire Weekend. So that's how I got into the band. And then, you know, later on with Hudson, I mean, it's coming to the end of the album. I'm expecting there to be one last kind of like big banger. And it kind of goes out on a somber note and a low key note. And I did not like Hudson at the time. Now I think it's amazing and fascinating and a great song. It's their most dark minor key sort of like horror movie score gothic song. Like it's, there's just something very dark and kind of weird and eerie about it. And the lyrics are the most surreal that Ezra Koenig has written, I believe, even though his lyrics can get surreal sometimes. It's not ever like at this level. He usually keeps it more kind of like realistic and playful and sort of like playing with realism, I guess. I was gonna say like almost gritty at times, but I don't think he's ever gritty. It's not gritty, it's more just like, I don't know, almost like a humorist in some ways. But he's just a great writer, just a great lyricist, a great writer, Ezra Koenig. So I also didn't like the drums, the kind of like military drums, which they do talk about on the episode, the Time Crisis episode. Now I love everything about the song, but at the time I did not like the drum track, the military drums in particular. And I listen to it now and it's like, that's only like part of it. Like there's a lot of different shit going on the drum track. So it's interesting. And then Young Lion, the last song. I never knew until last night that Rostam sings that song on the album. I always thought that was Ezra. And now I listen to it and it's obvious that it's not Ezra's voice, it's Rostam. They're, I wouldn't say they're very different singers, but they are definitely different singers. There's a different quality to Rostam's voice. It's almost more like pure and angelic, Rostam's voice. Ezra's voice is more like, I don't even know how to describe Ezra's voice. I was going to say more screechy, but that that sounds disrespectful. There's like a tension in Ezra's voice. There's like an urgency to it where there's almost like, I don't know, it almost sounds like a pure love of music in Rostam's voice. I don't know, I might be overstating it. But yeah, so it's not that I didn't like Young Lion. I thought it was like really good at the time. Now I think it's great, amazing. Yeah, I mean, at the time I thought it was really good, but I just thought it was too kind of like, I don't know, it was too almost like simple and like kind of like low-key and subdued and like, I don't know, I just wanted like a big, the other two albums end with like, they have these kind of like big endings. Like the first album is like The Kids Don't Stand a Chance, which is one of my all-time favorite VW songs. Probably still is my favorite Vampire Weekend song. And then I Think You're a Contra. It's just this big ending. And it is, in both cases, they're kind of like ballads that end the albums, but they're these big ballads. And Young Lion just feels like this little, this little kind of, not even like a fully fleshed out song, almost like a chamber pop outro And now it's just, I look at it and it's just like, could not be more perfect to end that album and end that era for Vampire Weekend. Like, that song just kind of like sums it all up. But at the time, it was just too kind of like anticlimactic, too kind of like, too much of an outro, where as I wanted like that final song. And something that I think is really interesting about the album, is that something I didn't realize until I kind of went back and listened to it with Obvious Bicycle, which has an, speaking of drum tracks, has an interesting drum track that they also talk about. I think it's that one. Yeah, pretty sure. So, with Obvious Bicycle, there is this kind of, like, symbiosis, sort of, with the first track on Father of the Bride, which I can't fucking remember the title of it, but, there are these kind of great, sweet melodies. In the case of Obvious Bicycle, it's just, like, this classic melody, this classic song that just grabbed me immediately, and I knew it was amazing and great first time I heard it. But I don't know, it just, like, the tracks kind of, you keep thinking they're going to end, but then they continue and they actually keep building, and there are like these weird things happening sonically that you don't really notice at first. Like, at first they seem like simple songs, but then they reveal themselves to be like very complex and intricate. That was definitely the case with Obvious Bicycle for me. Like, I just thought it was this very simple, like, kind of like acoustic song, and now I hear it and there's just all this shit going on sonically. As well as with Ezra's vocal track. So yeah, that's Obvious Bicycle, which I love. So shit, I mean, this is the Modern Vampires of the City episode. I don't even remember what the fuck I watched last night. Oh, I do remember what I watched. The Man with the Shotgun. Or The Man with a Shotgun by Seijin Suzuki, which is a Japanese film on the Criterion Channel streaming, part of the Seijin Suzuki collection. I was sort of baffled by this movie. I don't really understand it, per se. I didn't really get it while I was watching it. Take Aim at the Police Van was the previous movie, and then there's this one, which is in color. Take Aim at the Police Van is in black and white. And so it's his kind of Seijin Suzuki switch to color. And there are some beautiful images in the movie, no doubt. There's some great direction going on. I just couldn't really figure out what this movie was all about. I don't know. It just didn't really ever click into place for me. I also believe I fell asleep. I don't remember watching it to the end. And yeah, I don't have too much to say about it, obviously. Sorry for the kind of boring ending to the episode. I think that's pretty much all I got. So, thank you for listening. I hope you go back and listen to Modern Vampires of the City on its 10th anniversary. I mean, it's no longer its 10th anniversary, but its 10th anniversary year, at least. And month, I think it's this month. It's gotta be. Unless they recorded the episode last month. I'm gonna check and see what the exact release date is. Fuck it. I'll just do it right now. While I still got you on the line. Modern Vampires of the City by Vampire Weekend was released on May 14th. Holy shit. It's actually today. It's actually the day I'm recording. May 14th, 2013. What do you know? And I have been listening to the album today, but I might just have to listen to the album front to back in its entirety, which I have done a number of times. I know the album well. I know it front to back. I don't know every word, because there are actually still songs where I don't understand what he's saying. And that is an Ezra Koenig signature. Something I've always loved about him is he's indecipherable sometimes, his singing. Like, it's just like you cannot understand what the fuck he's singing. Which I love, and which is definitely the case for some tracks or some parts of some tracks on this album where I still can't understand them. But I know every song. I know probably 75% of the lyrics, if not more, if not 85%. And I was singing along to it in the car today, and yeah, I'll be rocking it later on today as well. Thank you for listening. This is Video Nasties. I'm Maxwell Haddad. Peace.
This has been a production of Reptilian.